One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the due south wall of our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our home bedroom is my lovely wife, co-host, and CFO of Dustin Nickerson Comedy, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our little podcast that could. We are so great. It's full, so great. We are,
we well, are so
I mean,
great.
We are great. And I am trying to work on my self-esteem. And so... We are
Now's
so
the
great.
Time.
Just trying
and the
to
place.
Yeah, just trying to put some value on myself as a human, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a comedian. Just we are great. We are great. And we are
Everything's great.
Everything is great. And we are grateful, which is what I was actually trying to say, for you tuning into our podcast. Welcome back, Backseaters. It's so wonderful to have you on this lovely Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day you're listening to this. Maybe you're in the future and you found this and there's a new day of the week. Maybe there's a new day of the week in the future. Maybe we're like, we need an eighth day just so we can feel something new. And
okay.
They're like, welcome to Flem's Day.
I wasn't thinking we were going to go there.
Yeah, Flem's Day. Yeah, of course. How did you not see this coming? Flem's Day could go either way. In one scenario, Flem's Day is a good thing. It's a new weekend. And we, as we've gone down the future in this society, we've realized we need more breaks. We need a longer weekend. We need a five-day work week, sure. But we also need an extra weekend day. And it's Flem's Day is the new Sunday.
So that's actually going to extend your work week.
Correct. That's correct. It's not great news for me, but for most folks, Friday bleeds into Saturday, bleeds into Sunday. Now we have Flem's Day. Flem's Day is the new Sunday. All negative connotations with Sunday are gone because now
it's in the middle of your weekend.
Now Flem's Day is the day that you got to go back to work. So now
Flem's Day scaries.
Now the other alternate reality of this is that things have gotten much worse. Capitalism has gone way further than we could have ever imagined. There is 99% of us are the working class society. The 1%ers are now ruling everything, and they actually created Flem's Day as an actual extra work day. So now Flem's Day just comes after Wednesday. Wednesday,
Monday,
Flem's
Tuesday,
day.
Wednesday.
Flem's Day is the Flem's new hump day. And
Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday, when you wake up, the former hump day is just a new Tuesday. Flem's Day is the worst thing. The one perk is they did add Flem's Day night football. So we did get an extra football game out of it, but that was just a gift from the ruling monarchs.
Flem's Day French fries is kind of the new Taco Tuesday.
No, it's Flem's Day fajitas. There's Taco Tuesday and fajita Flem's Day. And Wednesday you take off. So listen, you've got Flemsday Night Football and you have Fajita Flemsday. Just whatever you can get before you go back to the factory. Of where the rope, we don't actually have real bosses anymore. It's just
robots.
Just robot bosses. And we are somewhere in between servants and working class. Somewhere we're not actually full working class on this day. But you know what? This week, Flemsday Night Football is in London. So we've got that to look forward to.
And that's all we can really look forward to.
Happy Flemsday, backseaters in the future. I hope it's a weekend and not an extra work day for you. Today, we're going to talk about more than Flemsday somehow. I don't listen, guys. I recorded a comedy special on Sunday. I'm just working new ideas out. Flemsday,
blank slate.
This mind is a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. And what's the word?
And that's why you've got your hot lemon water going here for the old voice. Oh, that's nice.
I'm taking in some hot water with a lemon here because I don't have much of a voice left. If I make it 40 minutes on this episode, it's going to be a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm here for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Here this Flemsday.
We got home late last night and our daughters are on fall break.
Mm-hmm.
We're phoning it in.
No.
I mean, okay, we're winging it.
No. I have notes here.
I know.
What are you talking about?
We're getting back going.
Yeah. That's okay, what you're trying to say. We're
fine.
No,
we're not okay.
If we're phoning it in. You know what we do when we're phoning it in? We run reruns and we say, "Steven, give him an intro, baby." Uh-huh. So, anyways,
this is not improv.
No,
planned.
No, but we were at the Addison Improv on Sunday.
That's right.
We've got to do a couple show recaps here and just say thank you. First off, I forgot to say thanks to everyone from the previous weekend. Those of you who came and saw me in Lynchburg at Liberty University, thank you. Super fun show. Great to be back. Always fun to go be there and just feel like when I'm at Liberty, I'm like, I'm the comic for this job.
Yeah, absolutely. They're your crowd.
Yep.
And I can't believe that is your second performance there in the same calendar year.
Since February.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah, it was great.
But some of the kids are new. Some people graduated.
Well, and there's family and then there's fans and there's new people.
You know.
I said to them up top, I said, the last time I was here, I made fun of your college. I made fun of your city. I made fun of the people in charge of this institution. And I did some very borderline inappropriate jokes for a Christian university. So I am very surprised to be back, especially for more money. So my hat's off to you, Liberty University, for making such a decision. You know, you clearly have a good sense of humor about yourself. You know what? I will give you example A, the Mormon Church, and example B, Justin Bieber. Having a good sense of humor about yourself is a great path to redemption. When they see you don't take yourself too seriously, you know, it can, I laughed really, really hard when we saw the Book of Mormon on Broadway and you flap to the Mormon Church has bought an ad in the Playbill that says the book's always better. Check out the Book of Mormon.
It's such a good ad.
Oh, it's such a good ad. So good. And, you know, it just shows that they are the self-awareness and have a sense of humor about themselves. So, and then Louisville, that was a lot of fun. You know, I love Louisville as a city. The new club there is fantastic. Thank you so much to all of you that came out. That was a fun Sunday 5 p.m. show, which someone just sent me an email about this. I wanted to read it, actually, because I've been doing some of these earlier shows.
I did see someone said, like, we're home by 9.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah, here we go. This is from Ruth. Ruth's been a listener for a long time. She said, early shows and parents, subject. Hi, Justin and Melissa. I wanted to affirm what you said a couple weeks ago. Yes, early shows for parents are awesome. We recently purchased tickets for your 7 p.m. Saturday show in Royal Oak, which is an hour and a half drive for us. Our kids have a 9 a.m. soccer game that morning, early morning, and my mom is being gracious enough to babysit for us, knowing that she'll have an early morning on Sunday. If your show had been any later, I don't think we could have swung it. Been waiting for you to do a show in our area for a long time, and it saved my birthday money for March to get the tickets. So having it all come together is a big deal. I'm so excited to see your stand-up show in person. If you see my flannel shirt in the audience, know that it's in support of a 2+ year backseater, not just a coincidence. Thanks for the laughs every week. Y'all are the best. Thank you, Ruth.
Amazing.
I know you, Ruth. Ruth, you've been a fan for a long time. Really appreciate you.
That's
you
awesome.
Early adopter. The funny thing about the show in Louisville was that was the only show that night. And so I was just done with work at 7. And I was like, well, I mean, in theory, I should just be able to go to sleep right now. But of course, I can't. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's also like 4 o'clock on the West Coast.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, that date that she's referring to is October 14th and 15th at Mark Ridley's Comedy Club in Royal Oak, which is in 2 weeks, and that is my next headlining date. And then after that, all I have left is Philly. Philly, you're ending this tour. And then St. Louis got moved to January 6th and 7th. That re-ups then. There'll be more headline dates in 2023. But if you want to see me this year, Philly's the last opportunity to come see me headline. So,
all right,
there you go, everybody. This
it's crazy because you used to list all those dates, and now you've done them all.
And now I have done them all. In addition to that, we have officially recorded the special. This last week in Texas was so fun. I am so tired and beat. I am the most tired, get some rest today during a root canal. Cool. So excited. If you are a regular of this podcast, you know that our family has teeth drama.
Mm-hmm.
Drama. Mm-hmm. And I would say I'm at the center of the drama.
You're very dramatic.
I am very dental dramatic. You know, there's good news, though. Joel gets his braces off this week.
Yeah.
For the second time. He wore braces young, got them off, gets them on. I forgot he had that round of braces the first time because I brought it up. I was like, are you excited? Do you know what it's going to feel like? What do you think it's going to be? He's like, yeah, I've done this before.
That's crazy. Yeah, he was so young and it was so long ago that just seems like a million years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, during the pandemic, I was like, well, we might as well put them in braces because they've got masks and school's barely happening, and it's exciting. We finally finished our first child.
We told that to
with braces.
We told that to Gloria. We said, like, this is about as good a braces experience as you're going to get because about like a half of it is going to be masked.
Yeah. And then taking two kids to appointments, just kind of two birds, one stone.
Right.
You know, like they're always inconvenient if you can knock out two at once. It's helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then throw in some dad, you know, mom will keep grinding her teeth and then gagging on her mouth guard in the middle of the night.
Yes. Well, I'm just hoping that, I mean, I wasn't performing, but there's just a lot of details with like a filming in a different city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just there's just a lot of details. And I'm just hoping that my teeth pain goes down now that it's over.
Right, right. You know, that, like, there's nothing to be stressed about.
Like nothing. Mm-hmm. But just like in my sleep, I'm clenching and grinding.
You
and
said something
hopefully
that was really funny when I was messing with you earlier about how I'm your constant source of entertainment and you get so like bored when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And you said, how can I be so bored and so stressed? And I thought that was a nice encapsulation. I don't want to use old outdated tropes here, but whatever I would say is the primary caretaker, whoever spends the most time in the home.
I'm the household manager.
Yeah. I honestly think that's a good word for it because you're not a stay-at-home parent, certainly not in like the old.
Well, because I work from home.
You work from home.
And also outside the home. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you
whatever.
Work, and also.
Small business owners.
On the flip side of that, 3 to 4 days a week, you get more support than a stay-at-home parent gets.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like
there's no stay-at-home parent that has 3 to 4 days a week where she doesn't do a drop-off at a school or he doesn't do a drop-off
at
a school.
Well, depending on some parents' work schedules, a lot of times, like, one parent will do the morning drop-off and the other parent will do the afternoon pickup.
That's usually people do a lot of, or both working.
So that one parent can start working earlier.
Right.
And I totally get that. Even this, like, fall break, some parents, one takes a week off, one takes the other week off.
Right.
Like, if there's a lot of kids and childcare.
Right. So hard.
Yeah, because it's a two-week break. But, yeah, like, on Mondays, you do, like, two of the pickups and the homework and, you know, the sports stuff for two of the kids.
Yeah.
And then I do one of the kids' sports stuff.
I do that usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then depending on the week, Thursday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I.
And you work more.
And I get more admin detail work done while you're doing that. And I'm just sitting in a parking lot at a sporting event.
Still, going kind of back to what I was saying, you were still the primary kind of household manager.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good encapsulation of what you're saying is, how could I be so stressed and so bored?
Absolutely. No, I think now that we almost this month we will have two teenagers, and
we're done raising kids.
They're grown. I know that raises my anxiety,
mm-hmm.
because you just have to let go. like more and more and more. So when you leave, either the day you leave or the day before you leave, every week it hits both of us.
Yeah.
Because we're used to it, but it still is very challenging. Mm-hmm. And so then that's the stress. Like I'm bored, but I'm stressed because like, I don't know what my kid's going to want to do Friday night or Saturday night or who's going to call or where they need to be and how am I going to make sure they're, you know, safe, you know, et cetera.
Put a thumbnail in that because I want to come exactly back to that after we talk about this weekend because I have an anecdote to ride that. This last weekend, Texas, you were phenomenal. Thursday, Houston, Riot Comedy Show, sold out, super fun. Thank you so much. Packed in there so tight. We oversold it. It's great. The joke I made is I wanted them packed in there like money in the Church of Osteen's walls. And in Houston, that brought the house down. You guys were fantastic. Thank you for coming out. Friday and Saturday, we were in Austin, the new Cap City Comedy Club at the Domain. It's so funny. It's like, there's Austin. This is a little bit outside. It's in Austin, but it's not downtown. So I joked. I was like, I told my agent I want to perform somewhere in Austin, but not feel like I'm in Austin. I want to be in the Domain. Like, there's like two Whole Foods within 4 miles, which.
Fancy?
It's very fancy. Austin. It's
Oh, yeah. They had a really nice mall there.
It's very high end. Yeah. Very high end. It's it's La Jolla.
UTC. Or,
it's La Jolla. Uh-huh. Exactly. So you get there and you're like, oh, okay, cool. This is nice. And honestly, as far as like coming to a comedy show goes, it's much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Parking, accessibility, getting downtown is always a pain.
It's probably clean.
It's so clean. And downtown Austin is not clean, depending on what street you're on. So they bring different things to the table, but I don't want to compare because they have pros and cons, but I would say for a decent amount of people, you know, a show in the burbs or a show in it's not even in the burbs. It's just the fact that it's not downtown. Downtown is hard to get. You and I were talking about this. Elton John's coming to San Diego on his farewell tour. And usually if we go to a concert in San Diego, where we go is the venue 5 minutes from our house, or we've been doing Humphreys by the Bay, which is nice. We like that.
Mm-hmm.
But downtown, you're just like, geez, downtown.
It's a bigger Uber,
and it's a bigger concert. It's going to sell out Petco, and then I got to find the Uber line. It's just hours of extra work.
And amphitheaters, those are just, they're just different. Like,
I mean,
the time.
I cut my teeth doing downtown San Diego comedy. Madhouse Comedy Club is where I
Right next to Gaslamp.
Right next to Gaslamp.
Essentially in Gaslamp.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely in Gaslamp.
Mm-hmm.
When you left, you're like, oh, it's just such a hassle, especially on Friday, Saturday nights. Oh, I got to get downtown. Got to get downtown. So anyways, Austin, this one was not downtown and it was great and everybody had fun and we loved it. And you know what? Dallas wasn't downtown either. You know what? A lot of comedy clubs aren't downtown. They're in malls. They're outside. Some of them are. Some of them, the best ones in the country are. DC Improv and, you know, the Downtown Comedy Works in Denver, stuff like that. But the Austin shows were fantastic, sold out, really great. Appreciate you guys coming out. We'll be back again in a year to both those places, I'm sure. And then the Sunday shows in Addison were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, you were there. Why don't you initiate a little recap on how you thought everything went? Versus how you thought it would go versus how the last one went.
There was so much prep that the day of was very seamless. I had specific jobs and then you had your specific jobs and then like Alec had his stuff and we had our friend and hairdresser. She did makeup.
Laura
crushed
it.
Laura was there. Thank you, Laura. Was on as well to do her piece.
Mostly your hair and makeup.
Oh, stop it.
Well, I'm just talking about hours. I'm just talking about as far as minutes gone in.
Hey, her expertise was making sure you didn't look shiny on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally pulled that off,
mm-hmm.
which is, as a guy, just really what you're looking for.
You know? The trick in men's makeup is to really make it look like you're not wearing any makeup. Because you're not really trying to wear makeup. You're just trying to not look distractingly shiny. That's the main goal.
Yeah,
we're
not doing like eyeliner and
because you hope between clips and the special itself, if it matches overwhelm numbers, this will get millions of views.
Yeah.
Like I've had clips hit just clips from that special get millions of views. This one very well is could as well. That you go like, all right, I want to look like presentable. You know, when you get, you know, I don't do that for every show. Obviously, I very rarely do, but every once in a while you go, all right, I got to tidy this up a little bit here.
Taylor talks about that, like with some of her theater shows, you just get hair and makeup.
Right.
Because it's kind of like when your kid has a ballet recital and you're like, no, put on red lipstick and some blush.
Right.
Like, so you don't look washed out on a huge stage.
Right.
You know, like under all the lights and when there's a ton of people.
And you know what? Those cameras are pretty high definition.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, there's just so many details. And if you are, if something's off, I think my Don't Tell taping's a great example of this. I was looking very pale, but that's fine. I'm a very pale person. But also,
it was like January. It,
but even more so, my glasses had smudges on them. And
I remember cleaning them. But...
And people just blew that up in the comments.
Yeah.
Oh, I can all I can see is his smudged glasses. That, it's so funny how
you're just like, well, thanks for the comment.
Yeah, it helps the algorithm. I'm just trying to avoid crap in these comments here. But anyways.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, we've filmed a special before. So you knew early on in this headlining tour to start like cutting the fat and trimming, and as much as you want to keep tweaking the jokes to just tell them, like perfect them, save the new premises for the next hour, you were so dialed in, and you have a hard time memorizing.
Yeah.
So even pre-show, we were setting up the stage and at the venue, we saw you were walking around like
Addison,
the pavilion,
baby,
with AirPods, hat, water bottle, and you were just taking a walk and like listening to your hour again.
Yeah.
Just like to embed it in your head.
This is what I've done for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You tour the hour, you write it, and then you kind of let it dry. You kind of cement it. You go like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't touch anything. This is it. Just memorize this as it is. This is what you're presenting. And then the night of comes, and it's so much better the second time. I told Tay this, but I remember between watching Quarter Life Crisis and Look at You, her two specials, and this between Overwhelmed and this special. The first one, you're like, I hope I make a good special. I hope I make a good special. And the second one, you go, I'm making a special. And so you know what it is. You know
how
to do it. You know the process. You know what you can and can't do. And
what you can control.
My
yeah.
favorite part of it was just the ownership. Each show, I went up for 5 minutes at the beginning. I was the very first thing that came to stage, which never happens at a headlining show. And I just said, hey, everybody, I got sent here to do announcements on my own special. And I laughed. And then I just went over the rules. We're taping. Don't be weird. You're going to get a check drop. Just ignore it. Just, you know, double the tip. Take care of that. If I mess up, I'm going to reset and you're going to laugh again. We all have roles to play here. Stuff like that, which ended up not happening. I didn't reset a single joke, by the way.
Yeah.
I did forget a joke in the second show, but I think we're going to release a blooper reel. I think that'll be funny.
Yeah.
I think we might release it after the special and be like, here's an extra thing. Here's the bloopers from this, or we'll put it in the credits or something. All that to say, it went great. I love doing comedy pretty much everywhere. There are certain cities, pretty much the cities between the coasts, that I adore. All respect to the coasts, but Dallas and Chicago are my 1-2. That's really what I'm saying here. I love Dallas and Chicago.
The fans and the crowd were amazing. Yeah, and they were so sweet after the show, and they all really wanted to be there, and you could tell.
If your city, Dallas, had any part of it that was aesthetically pleasing, I would move there. If you had an ounce, if Dallas had one thing in nature that I liked looking at, I would live in Dallas.
Now, Laura and I did drive over a big lake.
They got some lakes, but I mean, lakes aren't hard to find. Minnesota's got 10,000 of them.
Like 15 toll roads.
Listen, Dallas, you are a big city. You're a great city. I couldn't love the people more. I love everything about Dallas. I hate looking at Dallas.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
I get angry. I was in the car as we were driving to the airport. I was like, it's just blah forever, ever, ever. But I know that's a lot of Texas, but
it's flat.
It's also just, it just keeps going. I told
sprawling
you,
parking
it's like, it's a huge car. The whole city is like one big Costco parking lot. It just sprawls and sprawls. And it's the airport, you know, you're on that shuttle. You're like, how long is this shuttle?
I know. It's so spread out.
So spread out.
Yeah. But we had a great time.
But let me tell you this, Dallas. This is actually a very high compliment because you don't choose what the aesthetic scenery looks there, like around you. But you choose how you are as people. And I like you. And I like your activities. And I told you Deep Ellum was really cool. We went to Deep Ellum. So fun. And that's like our favorite.
It really felt like Austin or Nashville in that little pocket. And we went in the Galleria. That was old
Galleria
school.
Galleria was fun. Yeah.
Old school memories of mine.
We went to Terry Black's barbecue and I made a mess of the coleslaw. And that's because we love the sides. Here's my take on barbecue. Mm-hmm. Barbecue can get to a certain level of great and then it's just whatever you prefer. But to me, like that is good, good. Very good. But we really love the sides. I made a mess and I should have put that coleslaw in a munchie mug.
Ooh.
And then it wouldn't have, I know, we're at the 26. That wasn't my best segue into the munchie mug, but I needed to get to the munchie mug.
I was thinking you were going to see you to put the coleslaw on the burger.
No. Sandwich. Well, you didn't see the segue coming. But
I sure didn't.
Anyways, you guys, if you aren't familiar with munchie mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market.
That's right.
You've got items in your life, especially coming, Halloween's coming.
Halloween is coming.
There's some snacks in your life.
Mm-hmm. We were on a plane with a bunch of babies last night.
So many babies making
and
messes.
They needed munchie mugs to hold their snacks. You've got the goldfish.
You know who need munchie mugs is my fans at the Addison Improv. So everybody didn't have to go vacuum. You saw them vacuuming after the shows?
Mm-hmm.
Should be standard issued munchie mugs at comedy clubs.
Perfect.
That serve popcorn.
Yep. They've got the soft fabric lid.
Sensory experience, a variety of colors. If you get made right here in the USA, dishwasher safe. If you guys go to munchiemug.com and use promo code don't make me, that's all one word, don't make me, no apostrophe. You're going to get 25% off your entire order. If you go to munchiemug.com, use promo code don't make me for 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Okay, so we were talking about our teens and weekend plans.
Yeah.
One of the weekly challenges that we have right now is trying to like help our teenagers make plans that are like reasonable in actual plans.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember, and so do you, staying home on a weekend is like so not cool, you know? And I know they've got like the internet and their, you know, their phones, and we didn't have so much of that.
Right.
Like Gloria went to her first high school football game.
Which is fun. So fun.
With her brother.
Uh-huh.
And met up with some of her friends like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, they're kind of realizing like their friends aren't all driving yet, but they just have more options.
Right, right.
And some of that's like post-pandemic and some of that's just their ages. Jill's probably going to go to the, you know, haunted trails.
Right.
Keeps getting planned.
Classic teenager stuff.
That's so right. Classic Halloween thing. Also, they're just kids. So there's a couple, you know, Joel goes like, yeah, the girls in our group just kind of like figure it out and then we just go along, you know, which is so funny.
Which, you know, there's something to be said for that.
It's just all last minute. Like he went airsofting like last Saturday.
Right, right.
And I was like, what is this? Like, you've never been to this kid's house. Like, is it a birthday? Mm-hmm. And then this is teen boys. They're just like, hey, if you want to go airsofting, turn in this waiver. And your parents have to fill
so
this waiver.
So much of youth was trying to get your waiver filled
and
out.
And it's adorable because, you know, they don't have like invitations anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like links, you know, to RSVP and, you know, like the parents are like, just handle it.
Invite
your friends, and if they show up with their waiver, they can go. Sure enough, it was a friend's birthday party, but you just never know. It's none of it is planned. It's not on a calendar. It's just they just wing it,
right?
And hopefully, you can make it work.
Saturday, Joel called me. You were in Dallas. I was on my way to Dallas from.
Yeah, I flew in.
You flew in Saturday and
I was at a dinner. Well, I was renting a car and driving, and
you were renting a truck.
I rented a truck.
You didn't?
Yes, lifted truck.
We rented an SUV, a nice SUV, and like that's not available. Here's a big old truck.
Well, they wanted to give me a minivan.
Yeah, and you said no.
And I said no.
And you said we need, but the truck, and it'll be helpful because we, thank you. We, I don't know the name of the church, but a local church, a pastor named Dustin, let us borrow some.
We use curtains,
which is
piping.
So yes, everybody, on my upcoming special, there are curtains that are used at a church, and that is my opening joke. I bring that up.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic because they were perfect.
And those are the type of things that people charge you hundreds of dollars for,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, we'd gone to like a events rental company. And so that's why I needed the truck, because it was like a 15-foot pole. And I've never driven a truck. I've never rented a truck. This was like a beast. It was so big. But it had the backup camera and...
You were great. Yeah, it was big. When I got behind the wheel, I was like, okay, this is taking some adjusting.
Yeah. And the church was like 35 minutes away. So like it was a whole escapade.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But anyways, that's why I wasn't texting Joel back. And so you were driving with Alex. So he called you.
So Joel called me. So that was my days were... Oh, if you guys have ever wondered, like dreamed about being a stand-up comedian, know that Thursday I woke up in San Diego, California, flew a direct flight to Austin, took a 30-minute Uber to the venue. I did not have a hotel that night. So I was staying in, I was in the venue. I promptly just left my stuff at the venue, had diarrhea, Rhodes Fund. I had some road tum. Took a nap in the showroom.
Right.
There were no couches in the green room. So I just took some chairs,
put
them together.
Usually there's a couch in the green room.
Which you might not want to put your face on anyways. But
right.
Mm-hmm. I just took a nap in the showroom, got up, walked, got some Smoothie King and a cup of coffee, went performed in said venue, then got in Alex's van, which Alec lives in. Alec Parent, mm-hmm. who opens for me and directs this special, lives in a van. And we took that van. So woke up in San Diego, went to sleep in Austin, but did a show in Houston in between those things, which is not unlike what I did this is twice I've done this in the last few months, where I woke up in one place, ended up in a place, but then did a show somewhere else in between. So I traveled to two destinations in one day.
Yes.
That was so that on Friday, I woke up in Austin, which I was so glad to do.
Yeah, because then you could sleep and relax and perform.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, get some rest. So anyway, so on the drive on Friday, on Saturday, mm-hmm. we performed and then drove to Dallas. So same idea, I would wake up in the city that I was going to perform in, which was...
Yeah.
Now in the segue in between there, Joel calls me and Joel's like, hey, I want to go to...
Oktoberfest
in the village. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I ask it, this is our whole conversation. I go, who's going to take you there? And who's going to, or no, I go, what's your ride situation? He goes, I'm not sure yet. And I go, when are you going to go? I'm not sure yet. Who's going to go? Well, we're still figuring that out. And then I go, okay, so call or text me when you know who's taking you, who's picking you up, how much money you need, and who's going to be there, and what are the times? So those are the five things that I told him.
Mm-hmm.
How you getting there?
Who, what, where, when,
who,
and
what,
why?
Who, what, where, when, and why? All yeah, and he did, I think, communicate that to you. And I go, you have an hour to tell me because I'm about to get on stage.
Actually, I just saw the Ring doorbell, and
so he communicated to the sitter.
His sitter drove him came home alone. So this that's is how so we figured it out.
So this is so funny because I told him to communicate all these things to me, and I felt so good about it. I was like, that's the perfect thing that I just said to him right there. I just said perfectly, mm-hmm.
and then he were the middleman, and he just took you out.
And then I think he just told the sitter, can you take me to the village?
Right. So it worked out. And I had taken...
I would have rather him done that in the first place.
Right.
That's why you would have a babysitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had taken them to the Oktoberfest in the village on Friday night.
Right. They had just done
because
that.
Because I was like, no, you guys, you're going to have to kind of work within this schedule.
Right.
Three kids, one babysitter.
Right.
2 days, 2-3 days, you know. But it is good. They worked it out.
They did.
You know, that's...
I just had felt so proud about my answer.
It was a good answer. It's good.
There were two other little parent moments that I'm like, it's so funny because you're like, gosh, I'm 15 and a half years into parenting and I wish I would have known some of these things earlier or I would have adapted or implemented them in my life earlier. One, this is a ridiculous memory. Yesterday as we were flying home, we were watching Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's an old episode where Ron Swanson, he's like dating a girl and she has two daughters,
uh-huh.
and he's taking them trick or treating. And then one of their tiara breaks and one of them broke the other one. And Ashley's like, I don't have one. Classic parent predicament. Yeah, yeah. And I kind of stopped watching the show and went into like dad mode, parenting mode, which was like, how would I handle this situation?
Yeah.
One of my daughters broke the other daughter's tiara, which is all very plausible in my life.
Sure.
And it's Halloween, and now one's mad that one hasn't, the other doesn't, da da da. What would I have done? I would have said that, and then I looked at you, I paused the show, and I go, what I would have done, because they were just as both dressed as princesses. I go, we'll just switch the tiara every other house.
Yeah, and Ron in the broke.
He broke it. Now neither of you have it, which is, you know, just for comedic intent. Obviously, nobody would do that. But the I thought mine was a perfect solution.
It is.
Just it's switch. Good. All right, every other.
Yeah, and then they probably would just forget.
They would get tired of switching.
And stop doing it. And nobody cares.
And the actual good parenting moment that I had today is when we were in the car. I was driving Joel to school this morning. That was our compromise that I knew. So I had a big meeting with my highfalutin agent types today.
And yeah, and our flight got delayed. We got home late.
Yeah, and I was like, I want to sleep as close to that meeting as I can. So I'll take Joel in. So you sleep a little longer consecutively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll take Joel in and then I will come home and go back to sleep for a little bit longer than you do. And that worked out great. So I take Joel in and Joel's got a big Spanish final today and just finals week and he's got a lot going on. Then he was like telling me about the sitter and da 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 how the weekend went. And I'm not going to air anybody's dirty laundry, but he just told me something that I wasn't like thrilled with how it got handled. And I brought that up to him and I was like, really? You did that, huh? And he started to argue and I was like, don't do that. That's pretty much it. I was like, you shouldn't do that. So I said, and he started to argue. He started to talk back, which he does. And I do way too much with him. And a lot of times it's my fault because I take it personally and I get easily offended or if I feel stupid or whatever it may be. And I go, hey, Joel, I'm not going to do this with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I've said everything I want to say on this. And he started to do it again. I go, Joel, I'm not going to. I go, don't say anything. Just don't say anything back. Just go, my bad. And I go, and he goes, my bad. And sorry. And I go, we're done. That's it. That's all this had to be.
Uh-huh.
That's all this had to be. You're in this house for probably another 2 to 3 years. You won't be under my direct domain pretty soon.
Yep.
All I'm asking for right now, let me coach you in this. Let me tell you to do this or not do this. I'm not going to go up with you. And I was like, man, if I, now I'll probably scream at all three of the kids tonight. I don't, you know, who knows? It depends if we try and watch a movie or not. If we watch, if we try and watch an episode of She-Hulk tonight, then I'll yell at you.
All bets are off.
I'll yell at the cats. Just be quiet during movies. Anyways, that's some family stuff. I got to go on MLB Network yesterday. That was fun. I was supposed to like, part of the reason my voice is struggling and I got like 5 minutes left of this podcast is we were supposed to take a day off. Tomorrow, the day after the special on Monday the 3rd, and have a little day in Dallas, sleep in, walk around the Galleria, which you had remembered from your youth. You had went to
as a middle schooler in Texas, in a small town on the Oklahoma border. We got to come down to the Galleria a couple times, and it was a big deal. It's like a four
it's huge.
Story
There's
mall.
An ice arena in it. There's an ice arena in the mall.
Yep. That's one of the biggest malls in the country.
I bet they built Addison around it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. All the restaurants and stores. It's fun.
I walked. It's funny you said that because you mentioned, that sounds familiar to me. In my mind, it's like, it's called the Galleria. I'm sure there's a million of these type things, especially in Dallas. But you were correct. You were exactly right. You had been there before. Mm-hmm. And I walked in going, this looks like 1994's. Nicest mall in America.
Yep.
This looks like the nicest because it's
and
not...
I was there in the mid 90s.
Yeah. You were in its glory days because it's not bad now. It's still nice, but it's not like pristine.
Well,
nice.
Malls are just, you know, with online shopping and, you know, they aren't what they were.
Oh, also, you
department stores.
You will not impress me with a mall now that I live in Southern California because the malls are outside in the sun. You know, because you know what the worst part about the mall is like the inside hallway stuff. You're like, I mean, that's like part of the vibe and stuff, and it's fun walking around.
Well, just the moderate climate that you can, it's such a flex that you could have an outdoor mall.
You're eating your Wetzels in the sun.
Points for San Diego. That's for sure.
I mean, Spectrum Center in Irvine is like maybe the nicest mall I've ever been
to. That's true. That one's
incredible.
Super
it's
nice.
It's a SoCal.
They have a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. SoCal has its problems, everybody, but outside malls are a lot of fun. Outside schools, the whole thing. But I was going to be, take Monday off, and then the Mariners clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 21 years, and MLB Network and I were in discussion about, and I was like, I actually texted the producer, and I was like, I'm available.
Yeah.
And they brought that up when I was on air on yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we heard you text to the producer on Monday. And they listen, it's very fun for me getting to be a friend of that show. Off Base is really fun with Keith and X and LG. And then they have like a rotating fourth guest.
Fun.
And that's the one. I've been that guest before. And then I've come in now twice. And I'm like the Mariners correspondent.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
That was my title was comedian/diehard Mariners fan. And you're like, you better believe it, baby. It's That's what I'm here for. So it was super fun to get to do that as well. I also was going to say thank you to a couple comedians that helped promote the Dallas dates. Taylor, of course, if you were in Dallas, you had a very special treat that my openers for that show were Aaron Weber and Taylor Tomlinson.
They were great.
Oh my gosh. That's a three headliner show right
what
there.
What a show.
What a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really fun. Congrats to Nate on his taping as well. That I guess Nate Bergazzi has a taping. Who cares? No, it's amazing. He's one of the greatest comics. The week before, we didn't talk about this, the week before he did his.
In Phoenix.
Yeah. In the round, the same place that Louis did one, a famous one. And then George Carlin did his most famous special.
Wow.
That had the seven words you can't say on TV or television. He did that there.
You guys watched those.
We watched those the night before. So Nate rented this like incredible house and we were all hanging out and we were doing various.
And it was friends and openers of his.
Super fun.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really fun and a great time. And we did that fun little promo video. So I don't know. It's nice to have comics helping.
Absolutely.
Really, really fun.
You need them.
Mm-hmm. I need to do vocal rest. My voice hurts so bad.
You do.
I've realized that vocal rest is one of the more pretentious sounding things that you can say, though. I need to do vocal rest.
I know. But it doesn't seem real. It seems fake.
Yeah.
But it actually is real.
What I'm saying is you have to go kick the girls off screens. Have fun. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast and Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Ibling, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.